Hey, folks, thank you for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. In addition to the new Cafe Insider podcast, we're sharing bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. I want to end by talking about something that's been discussed a lot recently with respect to this administration. You've touched upon it and you've written about it, and that is the circumstances under which someone who has a position of public trust in the federal government should resign, and how you balance your view that you can continue to do good in your government position versus leaving an administration because you think it's not appropriate to stay there. And I guess before I get to your views on that, so at one point you withdrew OLC opinions that you thought were incorrect, and after 9 months resigned from the position of Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel. Is that right?
Yes.
Was there a time before that that you contemplated resigning from that position?
Several.
And I know about one of them.
Yeah.
At some length.
Yeah.
How do you think about when you resign, when you don't resign? And what is your advice to people who are currently in this administration?
Right. So let me just say, first of all, and my general principle here is this is a highly contextual decision. It depends on who you are and where you are and what you're doing and what you're asked to do. I don't think there are any simple rules here. For me, I thought about resigning three times. The first time was when I was read into a whole bunch of programs at the head of OLC, and I saw a bunch of programs that I thought the legal foundations for which were unsupportable and unsustainable. And I realized pretty early on that I was going to have to do something to fix these. And I asked myself the question, should I do that or should I resign, both for personal reasons, just for self-protection, and because should I, you know, take steps which I know are going to be very disruptive for the administration. I quickly concluded that my selfish interest should not be considered their personal interest because, you know, I had just taken on this big job. I'd just been confirmed by the Senate. The president had appointed me, and I thought it would not be an act of integrity to quit at the first sign of trouble, but it did cross my mind. The second time I almost quit was over the hospital scene and the confrontation over Stellar Wind in March of 2004. And there I was going to resign because President Bush overruled OLC's determination about which parts of the program were lawful and which part not. I had no objection in theory to the President of the United States overruling OLC. That's his prerogative. That's the way it works in the executive branch. But the machinations I witnessed and the lack of legal care that went into that decision, both the lack of legal care that went into the decision with the original Stellar Wind program and the decision to not abide by our advice, led me to think that I just couldn't continue under those circumstances. Then, of course, they backed down. They changed their mind. They agreed with our analysis. At that point, I thought that resigning would be, again, an act of cowardice since I had sort of just won that battle and needed to see it out. So I continued on for a few more months.
What you're talking about is the incident, I think, on March 10th or 11th of 2004, where Jim Comey famously rushed to the hospital where the Attorney General John Ashcroft was admitted because he had pancreatitis. And Jim Comey, based on advice given by you about discontinuing that program, advised the White House of that. And nonetheless, Alberto Gonzalez, who was then the White House counsel, and Andy Card, the White House chief of staff, tried to go around or over the head of Jim Comey to the hospital room of John Ashcroft.
Correct. Even though that sounds maybe bad, but it's worse than that because I had also issued a ruling, which was my job to do, that Ashcroft was technically incapacitated as Attorney General because he was in the hospital in intensive care. And I had actually, there's a process in the Justice Department, determined that Comey was the acting Attorney General. So it was, and the White House knew that. And it was an act. I didn't even understand why they did it. I was there as well.
You were there in the hospital room?
Yeah, I was there too.
And Bob Mueller as well?
He was down the hall, but he came to the room soon after this episode, yeah. And there were a whole bunch of things that happened that week and in the lead up to that week. And again, I don't like to attribute bad faith to people. I really try not to do that. And I don't necessarily think that the White House is acting in bad faith, but they did some things that I had a very hard time understanding weren't bad faith. And, you know, they wanted to keep that program. It had been running for 2 years. They viewed it as vital. And I think that they saw what was going on in the Justice Department as kind of a coup by the new people who weren't with the program.
Are you in the deep state?
I think that they thought I was at the time.
And when you say they, who are the human beings you're talking about?
the Vice President Cheney, his counsel David Addington, Alberto Gonzalez to some extent. Those are the main people I was communicating with.
Do you still get invited to their Christmas parties?
I barely knew Cheney. I have not spoken to Addington. And Gonzalez and I are on friendly terms. I actually like him very much, but I've not been to any Christmas parties now. Anyway, the third time I actually resigned was after I withdrew some of the interrogation memos. And there were a whole bunch of reasons for my withdrawing there. One was I wanted to avoid another hospital scene, and I knew that if I withdrew the opinion and then resigned, then they couldn't really. It would have been very hard for them to not go along with that. Also, by that point, frankly, the White House had lost confidence in me because I had withdrawn, as David Addington said, more OLC opinions in the last 6 months than has ever been done, maybe ever. And unfortunately, he was right. It's not something I was proud of, but he was right. And I was exhausted mentally and physically, so that's why I resigned. The questions for people who are in the government now are somewhat different. They're slightly different. You know, the question is, when you go to work for an administration, who are your loyalties to? Is it to the president? Is it to the administration? Is it to the American people? The answer to that question is not written down anywhere. And the answer is, if you're a political appointee, especially, some combination of that, I think. You know, I felt loyalty to the Bush administration for appointing me to the job. I viewed my job as OLC to try to help them do what they wanted to do consistent with the law. Trump is the hardest case I can imagine because he's so defiant of all of the norms that should govern the presidency. He so frequently and viciously attacks and tries to break down these institutions. He's mendacious. He's cruel. He's just not someone I would want to work for. So it raises the question, why are you working for him? My basic advice to people, I have a lot of students who ask me this question. I think it's honorable to serve in the government. I think it's perfectly fine to be a political appointee in the Trump administration, depending on what you're doing. The closer you get to Trump, the White House counsel's office and the like, I think it becomes much more dangerous legally and ethically and morally. But again, it's very much of a contextual personal judgment call. A lot of people stay in there and they do the right thing to put the president on the right path and to try to push back against some of his tendencies. Is that legitimate? That's a hard question. So I think it really depends on who you are, what you're doing, and what your values are. I think and then there's also the question, if you resign, is the next person going to be better?
Yeah, that gets very dangerous, right?
Yeah.
There's been reporting about a lot of folks who stayed for a very long time who may have been, you know, relatively impotent in persuading the president to take the right path. Every once in a while, they succeeded. And I think they told themselves, well, it could be worse if the next person comes in and they don't leave. And I think that's a very tough balance.
It's a very tough balance. It's also, a lot of people are asking about, you know, the impact on my career from working for the Trump administration. I mean, there are a whole bunch of difficult considerations that go into it. But I am not someone who thinks that it is unethical to work for the Trump administration. I think that the government is a big government, and the vast majority, I still think, of what the government does is unaffected by his personal foibles. And these are honorable and important jobs, and we need good people in these jobs, as I think you'll agree.
Look, I agreed to work as the United States Attorney under Donald Trump after he met with me, based on a lot of these considerations that you were mentioning. Would I have agreed to serve in his cabinet? I wasn't asked, but I would not have.
Yeah, that's exactly.
But I thought I had a certain amount of insulation, which I was wrong about.
Yeah.
And distance as the local U.S. attorney with levels of buffer between me and the President of the United States, which was not observed. So I was wrong about that. But I do think I agree with you, and I give the same advice to students and others, really honorable to serve in government. We need more good people in government. Depending on what you're doing, you can make a big difference. And you can do that job without being impeded by the President of the United States.
Right.
Thanks again for becoming a member of Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Monday with me and Ann Milgram, and stay tuned every Thursday.